Friday, May 11th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. While I was going to begin today by discussing the recent run-in I had with YouTube and the censorship of a video we put up, it was the one about Israel attacking Syria and Iran and the one discussing Ray McGovern and how he was disgustingly abused by the police at the Gina Haspel hearing. And it turns out that they censored it due to a copyright strike, which in and of itself is absolutely unjustified and incorrect because everything we do is protected under Section 7 of the Copyright Act, which discusses fair use. So I immediately responded, not expecting to get any kind of a response back, as I have in the past basically had times where I didn't even get a response, and you know, kind of put the word out, asking people to discuss the fact that the video was taken down. And then, to my surprise, I got an email back about 3 hours later when they reinstated the video. So, you know, I have to at least give them some credit there, which shows that the process does work to some degree. I can't say as to why it worked this time and not others, and I can't openly speak to the fact that there is active censorship and suppression going on these mediums, but in this case, it did work out. So I just wanted to point that out. And instead, I will discuss to start here something that was on my mind. And really, that is, I was working out today listening to a song by Ben Harper, Gather Round the Stone, and it kind of brought a thought to my mind, something that's not the first time I've thought of it. But the idea that people like Ben Harper, you know, Bob Marley, Bob Dylan, these people that have been singing about the very things that we discuss for decades, and just the idea comes to my mind that we're in no shortage of people who are aware of what's really going on. We have to understand how popular these musicians are, which doesn't necessarily mean that everyone agrees with their message, but the point is, whether you're talking musicians, artists, people like us, we are not in short supply of people who are aware of the manipulation. So what does that mean? What's the hang up here? Why are we not able to effectively create this change? There's plenty of reasons we could discuss, but I think the one that comes to my mind, and again, a thought that I've had many times in the past, is it's us. It's our inability to bring to fruition what we think we want. Like I've always bring up with the marijuana movement, we saw that happen, whether that was a fluke or something else. We saw that rise up and happen and stand against the federal government. So it's us standing in our own way. Now, there's plenty of people like myself and other independent media who are taking the charge and getting out there and speaking our minds. And that's why I often call for everyone to do the same. And I truly think that is part of the hangup, that we have this false majority of people being presented as the majority that are still blindly following the mainstream propaganda. Then we have people like myself and others in this tight-knit community who are actively fighting and speaking our minds. And then we have the real majority, the large amount of people in the middle who are currently becoming more and more aware of what's really going on, who are listening to this message, and yet choose not to do anything. Now, I'm not trying to call anybody out, because there are plenty of valid reasons, job, family, anything that you could point out for not taking a stand and putting yourself on the spot. But for all of you out there that this message resonates with, that you hear this every day and you understand it and you agree with it and you want to see real change, yet you don't do anything about it, I argue that you need to stand up and do something. Or rather, I ask you, I plead with you to do something about it. Whether that's simply talking to people you know, whether that's starting your own YouTube channel, that real majority, that silent majority, is what we need to invigorate. If we can get that majority to actually begin to stand up and actually begin to speak in unison, I truly believe we can see things actually change. But until that time, we're going to continue to see the same never-ending war-focused agenda presented as the majority, when in reality, it is not really what the people want. So keep that in mind and begin to actually stand up and fight for what you truly want to see happen. First story of the day coming from the freethoughtproject.com. Autistic fifth grader handcuffed, arrested for playing with imaginary gun at school. Now, this is not a new story, especially in recent months. We've seen this happen quite a bit. We've seen this many times over, and really kind of this overzealous police state that essentially was kind of built on the back of these tragedies, such as we saw in the Parkland shooting. But really, this one stood out to me specifically because this was an autistic child, a fifth grader. And basically, quick run over the story. As always, I highly recommend you read the article itself. This child essentially stood up in class and was play shooting with guns that accidentally or, you know, intentionally, either way, aimed at the teacher with his play guns. And instead of being a teacher and sitting the child down and speaking to him about why that's inappropriate and, you know, what's going on in the world, she called the police. The police came, they handcuffed him and took him away. And the mom was not even made aware of this until he was already in custody. Now, we have to understand many different points here. This was a fifth grader. That in and of itself, you could argue, may not fully understand what that means, what he's doing, and how that relates to the world events. But it's an autistic child. So that's what the mother's arguing here, that he doesn't fully grasp why that's not okay. But yet they jump immediately to going to the police state. Take this kid away and arrest him. And it upsets me. And I think it should upset all of us. I understand and can sympathize with people who were hurt by these tragedies, but that does not mean that we should allow this kind of authoritarian rise in our children's lives. And I think that's what this comes back to for me, is this idea of social programming. These children, and this has been going on for decades, if not longer, but specifically today, these children are being conditioned to be okay with the police state, not just okay with it, but to expect this kind of authoritarian rule throughout their lives. And we're seeing that translate as these new generations come into the world. And that's what we're seeing take place here. Now, whether you want to argue that these shootings in and of themselves were created or manufactured or hoaxed even to see this happen, or they're just being used, either way you want to look at it, the way this took place in this kid's life, in this school, is not okay. And that's what we're seeing become the norm today. So as all of these things, it's something we need to speak out about. And if you have a child in school, take a stand for something like this. This is not okay. This kid, and obviously the mom makes the point that this traumatized her kid, and this is going to affect his life moving forward. He, you know, and it gives him kind of a distrust for the police, which is kind of a running theme for everyone today. I recently asked somebody while we were driving down the street when a cop drove by. I turned and said, "Let me ask you a question. Does that cop's presence make you feel safe, or does it make you feel threatened?" And I think you can guess what they answered with. Moving on to the next story, coming from ZeroHedge.com. Watch the White House respond when questioned about Saudis getting nukes. Quote, "But Iran." As if U.S. policy in the Middle East hasn't been chaotic and contradictory enough in recent weeks and months, or more honestly, decades, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders let slip a bombshell admission regarding Saudi Arabia and nuclear weapons during a Wednesday press briefing. Saudi Arabia's foreign minister announced, quote, "His country stands ready to build nuclear weapons if Iran restarts its atomic weapons program. We have made it very clear that if Iran acquires a nuclear capability, we will do everything we can to do the same." He even basically, when the question's forced back on him to clarify, says, "Yes, that's exactly what we mean about actually seeking nuclear weapons," which interestingly contradicts Trump and Netanyahu's claims that Iran already has that, which I find very interesting there. Like, understand what he's saying there, is that if and when they do this, we will do the same, right? But basically, the point is that Netanyahu and Trump have based everything they've been doing on the fact that Iran is already there. So weird contradiction there. And I think we understand why that's not the case. I think it's been made very clear by places like the IAEA, and the actual people on the ground there have made it very clear that Iran does not have any semblance of a nuclear weapons program. So that's the point. But ultimately, this is interesting because Saudi Arabia is saying, they openly saying that they're going to seek the same thing. Now, Sanders was asked by a reporter about the White House's response to Saudi Arabia's brazen statement declaring itself willing to pursue nukes. And the question was literally, quote, "Sarah, Saudi Arabia said that they would pursue a nuclear weapons program if Iran were to pursue a nuclear weapons program. Would they have the administration's support in the event that occurred?" Sanders then responded, "Right now, I don't know that we have a specific policy announcement on that front. But I can tell you that we are very committed to making sure that Iran does not have nuclear weapons." Notably, Iran has never publicly declared intent to build nuclear weapons in any way, shape, or form, yet Saudi Arabia just did that on America's largest, most visible news network. And it's, I mean, that we have to really understand the absurd hypocrisy there about basically sidestepping the question. And that means, obviously, that tells you a lot right there, but about the idea of Saudi Arabia seeking exactly what they're claiming Iran's not supposed to. Very revealing. And as James made very clear in his most recent video and our next story for today, that Iran has a documentable history of openly seeking a denuclearized Middle East, including itself. James' recent video is entitled, "The Real Middle East Nuclear Threat." There is, in fact, a Middle Eastern nation that is, in fact, in control of a vast, undeclared stockpile of nuclear weapons. This nation does have the capability of deploying these weapons anywhere in the region. It is not a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and its arsenal has never been inspected by any international agency. But this nation is not Iran. It is, in fact, Israel. Iran has been arguing for decades that the Middle East should be a nuclear-free zone. The idea has been presented by Iran's leadership in international settings numerous times over the years, but these calls to banish nuclear weapons from the Middle East have not even been acknowledged by the West, let alone even seriously considered. Israel, on the other hand, sometimes ranked the world's sixth largest nuclear superpower, actively pursued a nuclear program from its very time of its inception in 1948. And by 1967, a classified CIA report estimated that Israel would be capable of producing a nuclear warhead in 6 to 8 weeks. Shortly thereafter, it is believed Israel began producing and stockpiling a nuclear arsenal. Although estimates vary, it's now believed that Israel has somewhere between 75 and 400 nuclear warheads, and that it possesses the capability to deliver these warheads to Iran specifically. The existence of this stockpile, while known to governments around the world for decades, was only revealed to the public in 1986, when the Sunday Times published photographic proof and a detailed account of Israel's secret nuclear weapons program. That story was provided by Mordecai Vanunu, a technician at Israel's nuclear facility, who, after revealing this, was tricked, drugged, and kidnapped by Mossad from within the United States and spent decades behind bars in Israel for his part in revealing the truth to the world. It's interesting to understand there that this all went down when he revealed this information to the Sunday Times, and they have essentially tried to protect him knowing that he was at risk. And Israel went to great lengths to infiltrate the United States and kidnap him back to Israel for revealing this. It's absolutely shocking story. And as James asks in some very poignant questions at the end of this article, why does Israel refuse to declare its nuclear weapons stockpile? Why do they refuse to sign on to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty? Why do they refuse IAEA inspections of their nuclear facility? Why do they kidnap and imprison Mordecai Vanunu for 18 years for providing the proof of this nuclear program? And perhaps most importantly, why does the United States, the only country who could single-handedly force NPT compliance from Israel, still refuse to even admit the openly acknowledged status of Israel as a nuclear power? No one else in the world has provided such ambiguity and special status in regard to nuclear weapons. And that in and of itself should open our eyes to who's really pulling the strings. I highly recommend you check out this article specifically, but as always, James's work is so well-researched, and it's something that I highly recommend any of you dig into, more than just this article, his work in general. But this one really opens up this idea of nuclear ambiguity, something that's not really discussed. That's just kind of a nice word of saying that Israel refuses to take part in what everyone else is bound to. Moving on to the next story coming from mintpressnews.com, Haley Pence convey U.S. message on Venezuela. Only election worth holding is one that results in regime change. As aggressive neoconservatives increasingly take the helm of the United States foreign policy establishment, Washington's appetite for regime change has only continued to increase. The reinvigorated mood for intervening in the internal affairs of nations who don't adhere to Washington's dictates was on full display Tuesday as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, issued the demand that Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro step down from office and refrain from even holding elections on May 20th that he's widely expected to win. Broadening her fire to include the other leftist governments of Latin America, Haley described the progressive nationalist and socialist models of Cuba and Nicaragua as proven, quote, to be a complete and total failure, requiring that U.S.-aligned governments work with Washington to ensure that the last few surviving authoritarians not be permitted to, quote, drag down the hemisphere. Haley had shown no such concerns about authoritarianism in February when she visited the capital of Honduras to drum up support for the scandalous re-election of President Juan Orlando Hernandez and to thank him for his decision to move the Honduran embassy to Tel Aviv in Jerusalem. For around 2 months, mass demonstrations and unrest in response to fraud allegations blanketed the Central American nation. All the while, Washington backed the right-wing pro-U.S. incumbent to the hilt as he suspended civilian law and carried out a campaign of what local human rights monitors described as blatant state terrorism. We literally just talked about Pence making very similar statements, and hopefully it's now becoming painfully obvious how this has nothing to do with fighting for the people, as they seem to have no problem ignoring the very crimes which they baselessly levy at their enemies being openly committed by their allies. This is hypocrisy, pure and simple. Exactly like what we're seeing with the U.S. ignoring Saudi Arabia's open claims to seek nuclear weapons. And they will no doubt use the current situation as an excuse to do just that, as well as the U.S. statements as a de facto green light to begin. And even more so hypocritical to pretend like Israel has none, as they flagrantly flout the very laws and regulations other countries are bound to by threat of force. This ongoing and seemingly endless display of hypocrisy is really nothing new. It's something we've been seeing ongoing in domestic and foreign policy for a very long time. But what it needs to begin to show us, especially when considering what's going on with Syria, Iran, Israel, that this is something that's being presented to us as one thing, when in reality, it's something completely different. And also what we need to understand is that this does not mean that America is bad, that the United States is evil, as many so often try to paint it. It simply means that those in power today are leading us in the wrong direction. Be that at the behest of Israel or some other country, it does not mean that Americans are inherently evil. That's something that I constantly see talked about in discussions and comments and all over the place. But we have to begin to differentiate between the people of a country and the sinister leaders that are taking you in the wrong direction. That's a very important thing to understand. Even in regard to Israel, people are constantly talking about Israel as this evil state, but the people that are leading that country are the ones taking them in the wrong direction, the ones making those terrible decisions, just like we're seeing at home when we're talking about the fact that most Americans don't support what's happening today. So we have to look at these other countries and understand we can't always look at them through the actions of their government. We have to understand that those people there are just average civilians just like us. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com, one of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.